Evening.
Okay. It was November 1997 when I was at a Sunday school with my teacher. I still remember her name. She's still alive. That I accepted the Lord as my personal Savior. And I was 7 years old. I still remember how that felt. I still remember how I wanted to tell all my friends and my parents as well. And you might think, well, you're 7 years old. Like, do you really know what you're doing? Well, it was a genuine conversion. I felt something in me, you know, that I wanted to just accept Jesus Christ as my personal savior. And you might think as well, of that time that you accepted the Lord as your personal savior as well, what you were doing, who do you want to talk to, who do you want to tell? You know, it's a big decision in your life. Now, sometimes along the way, as we are growing up, and we're privileged enough to grow in a Christian family, we might, lost our way, or our purpose is not clear enough. So today I want to share with you how to have a purpose. It was hard for me to find a title for this message, but I think this is the most fitting one. And I want you to go to your Bible in Matthew at chapter 5:13. And we're going to be seeing different examples in different stages of life and how the Lord uses different type of people, adults, young adults, and even children. So Matthew 5, verse 13 says like this: "You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, how should it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men." And let's just pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this evening. We thank that for everybody that is gathered here just to listen to your word. If we have to ask you something tonight, Father, it's just speak to us. Speak to us, to your servant, and that your word that is alive just penetrate into our hearts so we can just live it, Lord. Bless this evening and the rest of this message. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. So, see here. What are we meant to be in this world? Well, as the verse is really, it's a really simple verse. Right? So we are meant to be salt. And you want to think like, why salt? Well, salt is it's a rich mineral. Salt has different characteristics, different properties. And one of them is the salt preserves. If you add salt to certain foods, it'll preserve, it'll last longer. At the office, it's not unusual for us to be speaking about meats and the different types of meats. We have even a small page printed of a beef where, you know, if something comes up, we say like, yeah, come watch the beef here, boom, right? And we have a dream with Nathaniel that we just get a big pork leg and just salt it over and curate it, you know, and eat it for Christmas as a big ham. Right? We want to start with a small piece, but then you want to cover it with salt. So that will last longer. Okay? Now, another purpose or characteristic of the salt is the salt seasons. Right? Now, you add a little bit. Have you eaten like a steak without any season at all? You know, it could be the expensive cut of beef, but it tastes like bland. Right, you know that something's missing, so what do? Add a little bit of salt. Okay, now, salt also heals. So Don't get me wrong. It's not like it's going to, you know, fix you out of everything, but it has medicinal purposes, right? It regulates body fluids. It also, I've had a friend that he always bought this nasal spray, which it was like a saline solution. So it's used for that. Another particular use when I was a children that I used it for was, you know, if I had a wound, I just put a little bit of salt in there. And I put a bit of lime there. Kind of burns. Don't do that. Okay? So those are some uses of salt, right? Of the characteristics of salt. But before we go in depth in this, you heard me say that I accepted when I was, you know, 5-7 years old. But for some of you, it might be different as well. And as you are going through life, you are searching that purpose. Okay? So before we get into depth, I want you to go to Mark chapter 5. And we're going to look at a scene that the Lord is helping this anguished man in there, but he gives him a purpose. Okay? So you perhaps have read this story about this possessed man with multiple spirits, unclean spirits, and he was wandering in the tombs and he was crying out loud, and he, you know, nobody could stop him. With shackles, chains, ropes, no man could stop him. But Jesus, coming to the gathering region, he comes in, and as soon as this man sees him, he runs, and then he just kneels down and says, you know, he starts to believe. So there are different things that we can see in the lives of these men. One is that there's immediate recognition that he identifies who Jesus is. And he even gives him a title of Jesus, the Lord High Almighty there. All right? So it's an uncontrollable situation. And this represents sin in your life. Okay? Whenever we are not saved, we're living, you know, not with the Lord. We're in constant in sin. Right? So that's why the Lord saves us. So if you're following along there, verse 3 and 4, no one could hold him. And then in verse 5, he was crying out loud. He was cutting himself with rocks. So this was a very difficult situation. I don't know how many of you, but we had a member in a church back in Honduras, a man of prayer. He told us a handful of times of stories where he went to certain house because he has somebody, a girl or a boy, you know, I wouldn't want to put my words in it, but it kind of had, you know, spirits in there. And this is the real thing. It's on the Bible. So whenever he go there, he was asked to pray. And, I mean, I often just get out of the room because I didn't want to hear him. It scared me, right? It's scary. That's why I don't watch scary movies as well. For me, it's become like it's opening a portal to those kind of things that I do not like. So you can imagine this man terrifying that region as well. So, but on verse 6, the demons deaconize. We can see the additive of the demons, right? In verse 7, they say, Jesus, Son of the Most High. Okay, a title just used by the Jews. And then we keep on, and we see that this man is salvation is immediate. He gets saved. He was running around naked. We seen him again with clothes. We seen him sane. And then the verse that we want to go to, it's on the verse 18. So there's this man is instantly saved. Then there's a transformation of this man. And God gave him a purpose. So this man in verse, if you go to verse chapter 5, verse 18, and when he got into the boat, he who had been demon-possessed begged him that he might be with him. However, Jesus did not permit him, but said to him, go home to your friends and tell them what great things the Lord has done for you and how he has had compassion of you. Okay? So he recognizes Jesus. There's salvation. There's transformation. And then the Lord gives him a purpose. You know, you would have said, you know, why didn't the Lord just took him with him? You know, it was a noble request. He would have said, like, okay, yeah, come with me, follow me. But he did not. He gave him a purpose. So the first thing, let's see here. It says, go home to your friends. Okay? So if you want to have a purpose tonight, will be go home to your friends. Okay? And then tell them, Ms. Bell, how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you. So if we take that purpose to our lives, if we're in a Christian family, we have friends around. We also have people that is not still yet saved. We have family. I have not all of my family that I can tell is saved. So we still have a mission. We still have a purpose that we need to do, right? So what can we tell them? I'm sure sometimes we believe that, okay, there's not much going on in my life. Didn't do like 180 change or 360 degree, like, you know, what I can tell, like, I just, you know, this happened to me. No, like every single thing that daily, on your daily day basis happens, I'm sure you're going to have issues to go over the week, but you're praying for the Lord to help you, right? Or you've been through a tough week with Bible study, and the Lord has helped you to survive that, right? So different things like that. And then tell them. Now, sometimes we think that it's just enough with our testimony, right? Okay, yeah, our testimony just, you know, it speaks by itself. And maybe we're living just a right life, a just life, and we're doing everything right. But here, the Lord tells you, tell them. So it's not enough just with your testimony, but you also have to go and speak to everybody. You want to share the gospel with everybody else. And Romans 10:17 says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So the last thing, how much the Lord has done for you. We just talked about that, right? There are many things that I can think of, you know, that the Lord has acted since, you know, not even since I got here and come to Canada, how the Lord just opened the doors and everything went smoothly. But also back in Honduras, I had a lot of stories about jobs. One of my favorite ones is like I was applying for a job after a co-op that I had, and I was in a job that I just didn't like. And one day I was in a Saturday, so I always shoot weddings as well, right? So I said to myself, I want some fried chicken. I said, and then there was a mall beside, and they sell fried chicken, but I just didn't want to go there. So I went to a different side, and just in front of me of the line, there was my previous boss, like the guy that hired me to do the internship. And then he turned around and he said, like, hey, Daniel, how you doing? Almost forgot about you, right? So after that, I went to a job that lasted six years. So it wasn't because I was smart or, you know, I was looking for that. It just happened. The Lord guided me through there. So there are a lot of daily things, small things that happen in your life that take you to different places that you can tell everybody and they will be marvel about it, right? Now, all of this is to come back and say, how do we live as salt? Like going back to the verse. You want to attach this because this man converted himself, but he had a purpose, right? And then you're seeing me as a little child, as 7 years old. I'm not going to be, you know, preaching all over, right? But I want to have a purpose in life. And as I see here in the church, we have different ages and different group of people that are going through different stages in life. And we want to reinforce our spiritual life. And one of them is like the Lord's tells us clearly here, we want to be salt. We want to be salt of this world. And if you read ahead, it also tells you you want to be light of this world. Okay, so let's go to how can we live as a salt? With a salt, well, we preserve. Okay, so physically, and back in those times, they didn't have like freezers or refrigeration, right? So again, they'll put salt on the foods, and it'll preserve the meals or, you know, produce that they had or meals that they had prepared. They put it in there. So how can we preserve? We can look at this world that is living in sin. You know, is living, is the, this world is rotten. This world is just corrupt. Everything is just going, every day is going worse. We have wars ongoing. We have politics going wrong. Everything is just like, you know, we, how do we control this? This is out of our hands. We can't control it. So today's world is not different from Genesis to what we have now. So how do we preserve it? Well, there's a call to action. So the Lord gives us a purpose. And so we start by living a righteous life. We start by living a life with a purpose, a life which we conduct ourselves as the Lord will command us. When people see you living like this, you become a challenge to everyone. Just here with Cecilia, we don't have any much of a Latino Christian community, right? So whenever you come to meet one, you're like, oh, you're happy to see them. Where are you from? But as soon as you mention, like, you know, want to come to church and join us? We have this great church, you know, at SPF, and you want to come and join us? And then people are like, you know, good for you. You know, we just, any excuse will work for them, right? So we know that either it's going to make people run away from us or they're going to stick together, right? So, and I'm sure it had happened to you, not only like in this example, but you invited friends that are no longer your friends and they don't want to share the same values or conduct or morals, right? So you become a challenge. You start preserving the world. You start sharing and preserving the word of God in this world. So, and we have many examples of that. The first example that we can think of and that I have here is the life of Joseph. Joseph, we know that he grew in a family that it was trouble. Joseph, you know, his brothers wanted to kill him. They were murderers, right? Just as we learn in the Bible study about Jacob, his father wasn't the best figure, right? We can't say like he lived with two mothers that they were in constant fighting against each other, who was better than the other one. But, and then he was sold, and then he was accused, falsely accused. And then what he did he just, you know, he took the blame, right? Joseph clearly could have just, you know, conformed to that world in Egypt, because Egypt by that time was like the most influential city in the world, right? It was one of the most powerful nations in the world. So he was alone as well. There was nobody supervising him. Nobody would have said anything if would have done it. But he was living according to God. He was a righteous man of God, and he was preserving, right? He acted with integrity. That's how we can preserve this world. Another example could be Daniel, right? Daniel as well, he decided not to eat meat, right? He decided not to contaminate with the food that was being a sacrifice to the idols, okay? So as believers, we are called to preserve society, okay? In a faithful and be faithful to the Lord. So we need to reject injustice. We need to reject dishonesty. We need to reject any kind of conduct that will go contrary to what we believe. Okay? That's how we start becoming salt. Now, the second thing was we season, right? We give flavor. How do we season this world? Now, you want to think all about what we said. But we also, there's a word that I like is you want to make an impact, right? You want to make an impact in people's life. Well, how? You know, you can, and you don't only have to think about in the outside world, but in the church as well. You know, I have received here, like, people that will text me and say, like, hey, how you doing? I didn't see you last Sunday, right? Or, you know, an email. Words of encouragement to each other as a church. And that's how we make an impact. We, you know, we see people that we haven't seen for a while and then just reach out to them, cause an impact. You know, when I came here, this church, I believe, does it so well, received a warm welcoming of Lisa, you know, Mark and all these people, some of you. Start mentioning, I go to all of you. Probably I've been over your houses, right, and had a meal. So that caused an impact, right, for some people that it's strange to a city, a country, a language, that really gets an impact. And if it causes an impact in a believer, imagine how much in a non-believer, right, if you go out and reach. And that gives you an opportunity to share the gospel as well. So adding flavor, seasoning, means that we cause an impact in other people's life. We want to make an impact. Okay, now, how do we heal? And like I said, don't take this like the salt is going to cure everything that you have, all your evils. But in back in the day, the apostles, you know, they had the gift of healing people. They will heal somebody even with their shadow, right? So, but bringing it to our days, how can we heal people? Well, the spiritual heal. You know, people are sick and they live in sin. So how can we do that? Well, we can guide them to the gospel, to the Lord. That's how we can do it. And our lives should be an instrument. And I want you to go, there's an example here that I have, to 2 Kings 5. And this one's about Naaman when he's healed by leprosy. And I want to make an important point in this one because 2 Kings 5. Because sometimes we think that it's the job, you know, of the adults to do this. Sometimes we think the pastors, elders, people in the front line, speakers, you know, people in committees, people in Sunday school, they have all the responsibility to do it. But the Lord uses different people to work for his goals, for his purposes. So in here, it says, chapter 5, verse 2, and the Syrians had gone out on raids and had brought back captive a young girl from the land of Israel. She waited on Naaman's wife. Then she said to her mistress, if only my master were with the prophet who is in Samaria, for he would heal him of his leprosy. Okay? And if you know the story, you know that he went to see the prophet, and then he went to the to under the water one time, two times, three times, seven times, and then he went, came out, and he was clean. It's silk, smooth skin. Okay. Now, who did God use here? Well, he used this little girl. Okay. So it doesn't matter if you're, you know, a children, a young adult, or just a full adult. The Lord will try to use you to accomplish his purposes, right? So this applies to everyone, every Christian. Now, are we guiding others to Christ? That should be a question that we should answer ourselves. Are we being an instrument to guide others to the Lord and sharing the gospel? So are we preserving? Are we creating an impact in other people? Are we bringing other peoples to heal, a spiritual heal? That should be a question that we should answer. And since that conversion that you had, that excitement that you had, if it stopped in your life, this questions should, you know, raise an alarm and ask yourself, am I doing this in my life? Did I miss my purpose in my Christian life? Or am I following the right track? I know we're always busy with things in life. There, you know, you get married, you get kids, then those kids get married. So you're constantly busy in this world. But if we come back again to Scripture and we read this, and we just have this, you know, a couple of questions there, and we look at them always, we're going to try to remember this of causing an impact, of preserving, of living a righteous life. Okay? Now, it wouldn't be a message or in the Word of God if we didn't have as well, you know, the opposite, the consequences. Now, this verse, if we go back to Matthew here, it's the verse. Here, Matthew 5:13. The second part of that verse reads as follows. But if the salt loses its flavor, how should it be seasoned? So, can salt be salted again? I don't know if that's possible. A chemist that helped me? I don't know about that. I don't think so. Like, I believe that there'll be an impossible thing. And it reads hard if you read it like that, like this. Because this is, the Lord is talking to us to be salt, right? So when I read this, I'm like, it's kind of hard reading this. Because if we go back to the verse and we read it like this, but if believers, if Christians lose their purpose, their mission, how can we influence positive in this world? If we conform to this world, we could not possibly preserve, season, or heal. So it's kind of important, this verse, because the next part of this as well, it says, it is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. So what will happen to a Christian that, you know, loses his flavor, his season? It's really hard when you read it like that, because it says like you're thrown away. By the grace of God, we're not thrown away like that, but we can be restored in Him. So that's, it's not all lost. We can go back, but a Christian that lost his flavor, his season, the world doesn't look at him back again the same way. It never does, right? Here, like in the Christian environment, we wouldn't do that, but it loses its flavors to the world. It loses its credibility, its reputation. That is hard to get back. You can't go back to it. Now, I want you to go, this is the last example that we're gonna read, on Judges 13. Now, here there's a story of Samson, and this is a Sunday school story. We all know this story about this man. You know, a strong Samson, strength that came from the Lord. Now, let's go to verse 4 and 5, if you'll have it. Now, it says here, now, therefore, please be careful not to drink wine or similar drink, and not to eat anything unclean. For behold, you shall conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come upon his head, for the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb, and shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. Now, Samson here, it is a great story, but it is a sad story. Because Samson, as you go and read the story, he lost his season, his flavor, as he was going. You know what happened with him, with the Philistines, and he fell into seduction, right? So Samson, if we read this, we analyze this, since the womb, he was a man consecrated to God. Okay, so he couldn't drink any wine or similar drinks. He couldn't eat anything unclean, and no razor shall come upon his head. But also the one important thing at the last verse is that God gave him a purpose. It says here that he was supposed, and he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. So he had a purpose even when he wasn't born yet, right? Now, Samson, it's just like us. And let's do this exercise. Now, Samson, was he born in a good family? He was, right? If you read there, his parents were fearful of the Lord. They feared the Lord. So, yes, if I ask most of you here, you know, are your parents a Christian? Yes, my parents are Christians. So you've been born in a good family, right? He was a man born among good people, right? Surrounded by the people of Israel. So he was also a man in a good environment. No, his family, he was surrounded. He was not like Daniel or Joseph, right? He was from the people of Israel. So if we can put it this way, Samson was pretty privileged, right? Born in a good family, fearful to the Lord. He was given supernatural strength. So pretty good, huh? If I go back and do it for myself, born from a Christian parents, born in a good environment, it's a good city, I'll say, right? If I ask you the same thing, I can, you know, by seeing you, some of you, born of Christian parents, good families, I've been to your houses and eat there, right? You're a good city, you know. So Samson had all of this in his favor. But you know what happened to Samson? Let's go to the next chapter, chapter 14, and verse 8. The second part of verse 8. And behold, a swarm of bees and honey were in the carcass of the lion. He took some of it in his hands and went along eating. When he came to his father and mother, he gave some of them, and they also ate. But he did not tell them that he had taken the honey out of the carcass of the lion. And if you read verse 10, it says, and Samson gave a feast there, for young men used to do so. Okay, so that's your homework, just to just read the whole context of it, right? We dive deep in this, like we'll never finish, but Samson was not supposed to eat anything unclean, was not supposed to drink any wine because he had a Nazarite vow. And we see here that instantly Samson, he eats something unclean. And then he didn't tell his father, so he started lying, right? And then also there, the Bible doesn't tell us that he drank wine. But, you know, if he violated his first vow, I mean, by elimination, I'll say that, you know, in a party that young man did, he drank as well. So Samson started to lose his flavor, his season. It's like he didn't care. And it's a really sad story because a salt, you know, if you have ever had salt in your kitchen and it's gone there for a long time, what do you do with that salt? You just throw it away. It's not good anymore. It's completely loses flavor. And Samson is like, he didn't care about what was happening. And if you go into the next, in chapter 16, He completely loses purpose because he started just mingling with the enemies, and he wanted to marry one of the Philistine women. So the end of Samson is really sad because Delilah convinces him in telling him his secret, the secret of his strength. And if you go in chapter 16, on verse, let's see here, 20, it says, "And she said, 'The Philistines are upon you, Samson.' So he awoke from his sleep and said, 'I will go out as before and other times and shake myself free.' But he did not know that the Lord had departed from him." And it's just sad. It moves me. When I was reading this story like this, it just moves me because he had lost everything. He lost everything. He lost his flavor. He stopped being salt. And it doesn't end like that. And as Christians, we're not going to lose our salvation. But it's sad to present ourselves into a world that we had an image of us, and then we just stop caring. We lost our purpose in life that the Lord has given us. And we throw everything away because we just want to do our will. And the sad part, in the next verse, if you read verse 21 of the same chapter, it says, "Then the Philistines took him and put out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza." They didn't do like a surgery to him. No, live, they took his eyes out. Isn't that sad? Losing our purpose. And then if you go on verse, the same chapter, verse 25th. "So it happens when their hearts were merry that they said, 'Call for Samson that he may perform for us.' So they call for Samson from the prison, and he performed for them." So now he was just like a clown, a toy for them. And that's how the enemy sees us when he gets a grasp of us, right? We're just a toy that he can just, when we start just doing our will, when we just start taking our own decisions, we start not being, we lose our flavor, our season, right? We stop being salt. We start preserving. We stop healing. We stop making an impact in people's life just because, you know, we don't care. And for us, I'm glad that we have these examples here, because if we become in a situation like this, like Samson, and you want to come back, the Lord will receive you with open arms. Right? He will restore you. And at the end of his life, Samson, in verse 28, it says, "Then Samson called to the Lord, saying, 'O Lord God, remember me, I pray. Strengthen me, I pray, just these once, O God, that I may with one blow take vengeance on the Philistines for my two eyes.'" And then Samson, he was put in the middle of the pillars and just took that building down. And he died. He died the same way the others did. In verse 30, we read that he says, "Then Samson said, 'Let me die with the Philistines.' And he pushed with all his might, and the temple fell on the Lord's and all the people who were in it. So the dead that he killed and his dead were more than he had killed in his life." Even at the last of his life, Samson, the Lord used Samson to fulfill his purpose. He was promised that he will free Israel from the Philistines. And even through going through all of that, not caring, lost his purpose, at the end, the Lord fulfilled. So I even just didn't pay attention to the presentation here. Here, let's go. So lastly, we are called to be salt. We can ask the question, how are we preserving society? Not maybe for society, but our families, our church, our community. How can we make an impact to others so they can desire to come and surrender to the Lord? And how are we showing Christ to others so they can be healed from their sins? We can just take these questions and think about them during the week and just ask the Lord to help us to never lose our flavor, our season, and be salt to this world that needs the most from Christians. Let's just pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this evening. Thank you for your word, Lord. Thank you because you promise us a better life in eternity. And as we go through this world that needs you, Lord, we ask us to help us understand how to become salt, how we to season, how to create an impact in the life of others, starting by our families, starting with our church, at work, Lord. Lord, we ask you to take us home safe as we start the week. Help us to create an impact, Lord. And bless everybody as they go head home. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.